It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free. Take control of the airwaves. If you like, bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Conan.
Conan, welcome back to the airwaves.
Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
Has it been a year?
It's probably
half a year at least, right?
It's probably been longer than half a year.
So welcome back. Good to have you back here. Johnson's going to be joining us. He's running a little bit late, so we'll see him here in just a moment. Coming up, you wanted to talk, of all things, about the Mayan calendar, the whole end of the world thing that was supposed to happen in 2012.
Or maybe it did happen.
That's what I want to hear about coming up here in a little bit. Plus, a Montreal law firm is now suing the company that makes the popular video game Fortnite. And they're saying that, well, it's an addictive game. So therefore, they should have to
that's
pay.
That's why people play it.
Now they're saying they should have to pay the people who are playing it or something because of Fortnite addiction. We'll get into that story as well. But in the international headlines tonight, there's the purported brink of a Brexit deal. This may be happening soon.
It has been on the brink of maybe happening for 2 years.
Actually, I checked it, Conan. We were wrong. It's actually been 3 years since they first voted for this thing. According to Wikipedia, it was in June of 2016 when 51.9% of participating voters voted to leave the European Union. So more than 3 years ago to this day, that's like three and a third of a year.
Now, this would have taken place at least that year. I'm thinking even a month after the initial voting, if the Brits, in fact, had firearms.
Well, they've got firearms. They've got a military or whatever.
Not their military, their people.
Well, how do you think that having guns would help move along a political process?
Because the politicians want to get reelected, and they don't want upset, am I saying that word right? They don't want crazy people with pitchforks and torches, yeah. which they do have, but no, not enough. Firearms work. And the same exact thing is happening in France right now with the yellow vests, which, by the way, I don't think any Americans know anything about. Well, they've been protesting for damn near half a year now.
Yeah, we talked about it.
And now you've
here.
Got the new Hong Kong thing. They got karate kicks. I don't know if you saw that video, by the way.
I saw some cop got kicked or whatever. I didn't see video of it, but I heard
about
it.
Bruce Lee, but what was the Mortal Kombat?
Flying kick.
Yeah,
right?
It was a flying kick. It was pretty awesome.
And so there's video.
And the guy was half the size of him, too. So they got kicks, but they don't have weapons. And that's how these people, these governments, can get away with, you know what, we'll have a revote. Oh, you know what, we've got to vote on how we're going to get out.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, it's not a bad thing for people to have weapons. There's no doubt about that. But there's plenty of weapons in the United States, Conan, and it's not like the government here moves quickly on anything.
Yeah, but the people haven't gotten to the point where they want to exit something. Wait till that happens. Let's wait till California actually does what they want to do.
Well, they don't have any weapons in California.
Well, yeah, right, that, good point. So there's a problem there. All right, wait till New Hampshire wants to venture off and become good buddies with Canada and leave Massachusetts and New York in the dust.
Well, it can't happen soon enough as far as I'm concerned. I think most of our hosts on this show support secession, support any state, California, New Hampshire, Vermont, wherever it is, Hawaii. Anybody who wants to leave the United States should be able to do so, and they should be able to do it peacefully. I just don't know, Conan, if 51.6% – I mean, it's not an overwhelming majority. It's a majority.
It's a lot more than who were supporting the American Revolution. A third of the population, a third wanted to stay, and the third were we don't know what we want, which is kind of what we have right now. That's a whole hell of a lot more than a third.
But look, I mean, voting for something isn't the same thing as really being a supporter, is it? Because when you go out and you vote for some political candidate, most of the time, you don't support that candidate, right? Because, I mean, most of the time, with the exception of here in New Hampshire, where we actually have libertarians on the ballot that are worth voting for, in most places, you don't have a libertarian choice, or you don't have a decent libertarian choice. You get one lesser of the evils. You get a Republican, you get a Democrat. One of them is less bad than the other. You hold your nose and you vote for one of them. That doesn't mean you're a supporter of them. So I don't, you know, I'm not saying the people who voted for this don't support it, but I'm not, what I'm saying is they may not vehemently support it. They may not be the kind of, like 51.9% of the people didn't go out into the streets to protest for this. That was probably 5% or less than that. So it's always going to be that motivated minority that makes a push for an idea or, a, you know, whatever progress. And then other people kind of come along for the ride. Oh, yeah, it's leave the European Union. Sure, I'll vote for that.
Yeah,
but they're not going to go show up at their MP's door or member of parliament's door and start pounding on it. And
well,
you know.
it will come to that. It will come to that. And by the way, most people are NPCs. They're who knows what
NPC stands for, non-player character.
Who knows what they really believe? They don't. They just go along to get along.
Yeah.
Because it hurts to think sometimes. It hurts. It hurts to rock the boat.
Right.
No one
hurts.
Wants to be a boat rocker. No one wants to be seen as the guy who's always questioning things. They just want to get along to get along.
And it hurts to go against the grain, right?
Oh, yeah. It hurts a lot, which is why we do it.
Because you like pain?
You, because we're masochists.
Is that right? That's not why I do it. But, you know, it's just one of the it just comes with the territory.
Yeah.
You know, when you rock the boat, well, there's a chance somebody's going to target you.
Well, I'm thinking when it comes to Brexit, it wasn't like it is here in this. Well, actually, the 2016 election, a lot of people came out to vote for either one of the lesser of the two evils, Hillary or Trump. But usually, people don't come out to vote.
That's right.
As far as Brexit was concerned, they all voted.
Did they?
I don't know what the actual stats are, but I was pretty.
I'd be curious to see how many people actually turned out for that, because that is an interesting question. If you happen to know, you're welcome to share it with us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. If you're in the UK tonight, because where you are, it's actually tomorrow already. But if you're there and you're up late with us and you want to call and, you know, give us your opinion, because odds are you know a heck of a lot more about this than we do. I mean, my knowledge of Brexit is basically that it happened. They voted for this thing, and we predicted on Free Talk Live that this was going to be a slow process.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The bureaucrats, they don't want to give up their power.
No. And they're going to drag their feet as long as they can. In this case, The Guardian has a fairly detailed report. I'm not going to get into all the details of this because for a lot of our listeners, it just won't mean much. You know, there's always a lot of political personalities involved in this kind of crap, and I find politicians to be detestable. I don't like talking about them in the United States. I don't like name-dropping politicians, and I certainly am not going to do the same, you know, not going to do that with the EU. But there is a draft text of an agreement that could be published on Wednesday, so tomorrow, if Downing Street gives the final green light, according to senior EU and British sources. It's understood that the negotiating teams have agreed in principle that there will be a customs border down the Irish Sea. A similar arrangement was rejected by Theresa May as a deal that no British prime minister could accept. So she's out. I remember hearing that.
Yep. The new Trump-looking guy is in.
Is this the Boris Johnson guy?
It looks like the kid from South Park with the...
He looks goofy.
With his finger in his nose?
Oh, you know, he didn't have it in this particular picture, but Johnson will still have to win over... Apparently, Boris Johnson will have to win over Parliament, including the Democratic Unionist Party and the hardline Tory Brexiters of the European Research Group, on the basis that under the deal, Northern Ireland will still legally be within the UK's customs territory. So this just sounds like a huge political morass. And, you know, they're saying that a deal may be imminent, but imminent in political terms could mean weeks from now.
Yep.
So, you know, hunker
years,
down, Britons.
Years from now.
Yeah. You'll be lucky if you're still alive when this thing finally shakes out. If you want to join us, you can. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Coming up, are we living in the post-Mayan calendar end of the world? That's what Conan's going to ask on the way here. And you can share your thoughts on whatever happens to be on your mind. Plus, are you addicted to Fortnite? Well, if you live in Canada, you might be able to join a class action lawsuit. There's more coming up here on Free Talk Live. 855-450. Yeah! Come on! This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up what you want here. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. You will sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio if you call on those numbers. We were talking about this Brexit. Supposedly, they're on the brink of a deal. Of course, it's been 3 years now, and, well, nothing has really happened. It's all been political wrangling, struggles between one side or the other. And honestly, I don't even know what all the different stakeholders and sides and such are. If you're in the UK and you want to give us a rundown as you understand it, feel free. There's a really detailed article here at The Guardian. I'll link to it on our social media. I don't want to get into all the ugly political fighting that's going on, but I think it's crystal clear that this is taking forever. There's political chairs that have already changed out. The prime minister is no longer who the prime minister was when this thing first started. So it's all very, you know, complex. It's unnecessarily complex. And Conan, you were suggesting earlier that if the people in Great Britain had guns, that this process wouldn't be as drawn out. You feel like that would, that they could then pressure their so-called representatives.
That's what they're for, and that's why we have a Second Amendment. And that's
well,
why
they're
it's,
for killing.
And that's why it's the Second Amendment. You got the First Amendment, and that's to try to convince our government to correct itself, correct its ways. And if that doesn't work, then you have the backup plan, which is the Second.
Well, I
and
mean,
they don't really
they're for killing. Conan is what they're for. They're for killing governments that are out of control. Right? Isn't that the idea? Wasn't that the intention?
Or acting as a deterrent. I mean, it's like a good wall. It's going to keep bad guys out.
Good neighbors have good fences.
Correct. And that's the same thing with a weapon. You don't necessarily have to use it. Just the fact that it's strapped on your hip might be deterrent enough.
Well, I mean, I've seen plenty of people at the State House in Concord with guns on their hip, and it hasn't made any, you know. I mean, it's not like the state reps are going to hurry up and do their business even faster.
Until we actually vote on something that is actually meaningful and not like just trying to protect our vapes.
I see what you're saying.
Preventing noodle heads from outlawing everything. Wait till the crash happens. Wait till all of them firemen and policemen and teachers aren't getting their checks.
Mm-hmm.
And Social Security as well. Wait till that falls to the floor. The really hard decisions are going to be on the table, and none of this bull crap that we usually deal with.
I have to wonder what it is going to take. I mean, for the U.S. government to finally wear out its welcome with enough people in one state, because there have been these, you know, somewhat newsworthy movements, like Calexit was what one of them was called in California. There was the Texit people that wanted to leave. And they voted, like, what was there, 100,000 signatures on a petition that went to Obama back in 2012, and basically Obama came back and said,
nope.
Yeah, that was decided with the Civil War, suggesting that there was going to be violence if somebody tried to leave.
Right.
We don't know what Trump would do when faced with, or if faced with, the imminent leaving of...
He has too many supporters. It's not happening this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't
you're asking what it would take.
Soon.
It's going to take breadlines. It's going to take people
really?
Losing their savings. It's going to take,
God.
You know, all of these pensioners not collecting. That's what it's going to take. Right now, we're still living. We're still living pretty cozy.
We're living large.
I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of people complaining about the gender gap and all about racism in America and all this, which is all bullcrap, which, I mean, it is real.
Yeah.
But compared to what it was, it's non-existent. But no, this is all small potatoes. It's going to take pain and suffering. And the people are going to want real change.
Well, somebody on, we got like a local chat group here in the Keene area, and Johnson joining us. Welcome, Johnson.
Hey.
So somebody posted today, one of the local libertarian types in this group where we chat, Free New England, hashtag freeing, I guess as in like Keene, but with an F in front of it, or FR, and then hashtag six states own... On a nation? Oh, six states, one nation. I hate hashtags.
He doesn't want Massachusetts to be among that six, right?
I think they probably do.
Why?
You know, so
Mordor?
Six states.
No, come on.
Look, it's not from one of our guys. It's something that he saw. So he was at looks one of those poster boards, you know, around town where they got like business cards posted up.
I might consider Vermont. I don't even know about Maine, but Vermont, at least they have guns over there.
Maine's got some guns too.
And a lot of poor people.
Yeah. New England Independence Campaign is what it's called. So apparently there's a newish secessionist group in New England, and somebody from
How all these ideas are on the table and they're options, but they're not really options. It's just someone is, you know, hey, what about this idea?
It has to start. I mean, somebody has to put an idea out there and see what kind of response it gets, see if it can engender some interest amongst people, and then take that idea to
which is only really interesting to us. The only way to get these things accomplished is to get the normies on board, and the only way the normies are going to get on board is if pain and suffering is involved, and they're trying to get out of it. Breadlines, serious, and it's going to suck.
You're probably right,
and it's going to suck.
You're probably right.
And me would buy. Hey, I'm adding a whole nother swath. I'm adding 300 square foot of garden. It'll be ready for next spring.
Okay.
I'm going to be first on the chopping block.
They're
going to come after me. I'm going to be out there defending my stupid garden, not from rabbits, from hungry people.
You better learn how LED grow lights work so you can start farming indoors. You have a big basement.
Yeah, that's true.
It's full of stuff too.
Well, once the bread lines hit, you can just throw that stuff out of the yard and let them take it.
Which would require an awful lot of energy, which we're probably not going to have because the lights are going to be off. So I need the sun.
Well, if we don't have any energy anymore, I'm probably getting out of New Hampshire because it's going to get cold, man. if there's no oil left.
I actually think that, I've got lots of trees to burn, and that's why I like where I live. I got a whole forest right there, but I don't want to be where people are migrating. I think this is the best place to be.
You really think so? Okay.
Oh, yeah, because everyone's going to be going south. And I think we're just far enough away from the big cities like Boston and all that. They'll eat each other alive before they get out of control and migrate over here. And they want to go to Concord and they want to go to some of the more urban places.
If I were going to be thinking about surviving in a place that doesn't have good access to sunlight, aka solar panels and batteries technology, if there was not going to be power and it was going to be a place like New Hampshire, I'd say you'd want to be real familiar with wood gasification.
Mm-hmm.
So not only just burning wood for fire purposes, but burning wood in such a fashion where you're turning it into fuel, like liquid fuel. Because that can be used to run engines and generators and all that.
I know that that art, people are still doing it.
Oh,
but
yeah, there are people.
They're more into biodiesel and stuff these days. But
you occasionally see the crazy person with a wood burning stove on the back of their truck and it's driving the truck.
Yep.
Just belching out massive amounts of wood smoke. Yeah.
I've never seen that. That would be hilarious.
It's awesome when you see these trucks that are made with wood gasifier engines.
So if you want to talk about, what it's going to take for some state in the United States to secede, is it going to have to be bread lines like Conan is suggesting here? If you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Or if you know a thing or two about the Brexit deal, you want to fill us in and fill our audience in, maybe you're over in the UK, feel free to join us. Also, you can call easily if you're overseas or anywhere via the Discord server. You don't have to pay any long distance, and you'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. Go to discord.lrn.fm. As we continue, we will take your calls and thoughts about whatever's on your mind. Conan says we might be living in basically the world that ended in 2012. We'll get into that coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Anarchapulco is the world's foremost conference for voluntarist thinkers and activists, held in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico. Share ideas on how to live free and escape the clutches of the state. Their unparalleled lineup of speakers will discuss entrepreneurship, investments, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, and personal relationships. Stay in a world-class resort and enjoy the sun and beaches. February the 13th through the 16th, visit anarchapulco.com for early bird pricing and 10% off with coupon code FTL.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Bring up whatever you want here, whether you want to talk about the British exit, the Brexit from the European Union, or
Keen exit, or whatever he called it, the Freen.
Freen. Freen was what it was.
That's silly. Let's just call it Keen exit. Exit.
Well, no, it wasn't actually Keen specifically. It was some sort of signage that was put up, and it wasn't clear as to which restaurant or coffee
shop.
And
it's not Ridley who did this.
Maybe it was Ridley. I don't know. I wouldn't think Ridley would be promoting six states seating together.
I think he just wants New Hampshire, which I am in agreement with.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to be tied down with Vermont or Massachusetts like I said, Connecticut.
I think Vermont's the only state that I could maybe deal with. They're pretty left-leaning over there, but they do all have guns.
Yeah, and Vermont and Maine were in the Free State Project's 10 different states from which people could choose.
Right.
Neither of Vermont or Maine made it into the top three in the voting, so it's not like people actually wanted to choose them. It was, if I recall correctly, it was New Hampshire overwhelmingly won, and then it was Wyoming, and then it was Alaska. So I don't remember what
Alaska,
came after that.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't remember what came after that. So you can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We also have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. But yeah, I mean, I'm still happy to hear anybody talking about secession, even if it is the idea of all the New England states going together. It probably... Would it be worse to have that than the 50 states? I think it probably would still be a little bit better. You know, even if that's all that was on the table, if all that was... Okay, this is what you get to choose, Conan. You either go with the six states from New England, right? So Rhode Island, I'm going to presume it's Rhode Island.
No, I don't want the six states.
Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, all leave together, or you stay with the United States. What's your choice?
I'll go with the six states, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
But then I'll still be working for the one state out.
To leave.
But you know what? We're talking about what it would take. And you can already see it just here at the local level here in Keene. For this whole year,
I'd choose the United States.
Would
the
you?
Way. Oh yeah, absolutely.
You spent time in Connecticut, so you probably know a thing or two.
Yeah, and think about it. Add together all those states except for New Hampshire, and what you get is a socialist
super lefty
hellhole.
Yeah,
and by the way, I don't want to do any of this, and I've said this before. I don't want to do any of this until Texas does it first.
Wait, why wouldn't you want to go first? What if New Hampshire gets to see first?
Because I want to sneak off while they're dealing with Texas. Let them have their civil war, the feds versus the South again, and we could be like, you know what? We're just going to sneak
we're
off
just gonna
in, the,
be
in
over
the dark.
Here. Yeah.
Can you imagine what would happen to the costs of foods in this six-state thing when you sell off all the farmland, you know, essentially in the middle of America and access to those resources, and you become your own country that then has to actually negotiate and... You know, enter into like
I don't know, man. It doesn't cost a lot of money to get food from Mexico. Why would it be that much more expensive?
Because you have to go through the Midlands to get to you.
Yeah.
So they're having their war.
And I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about anything else that's also produced in the middle of America. You know, like.
Yeah, but they still want to sell their stuff.
Grain, corn, and soy.
Yeah, but now there's a negotiation, right? There's a negotiation with this new nation that they don't necessarily, you know, that they're not just
going to
demand.
We can negotiate with Canada, too. I mean, there's competition.
And how much food are they growing? Well, I don't know. To be growing some.
Yeah, it's a limited growing season up there.
But as far as what it would take, here at the local level, here in Keene, the politicians have been screaming about how the state of New Hampshire isn't sending back all the money they promised to send back. Here, and I've been arguing for this at an individual level since I've moved here, and everyone's like, shut up, libertarian. But now look at these hypocritical politicians. The state's not giving us back our money. Oh, and the feds do the same. Blah, 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 blah. And they're trying to write up new regulations, new ordinances. Some municipalities are talking about suing the state. Mm. And, of course, this is probably why Sununu came and dropped off this huge-ass check for the school,
which they
are not going to pay off any of their debts. They're gonna spend it on wish list projects that they've had in the back burner forever and ever. So it's not going to, our taxes aren't actually going to go down even though we get this big fat check.
No, of course not.
But I mean, it's happening. It's about money, and it's about the taxpayer suffering, and the politicians we're all about the taxpayers, and this is what we ran for.
Well, the politicians just want the money.
They want to fund their projects.
Right, they want to reward their friends.
Their city on the shining city on the side of the hill, their dream, their legacy. And this is part of it.
If
they don't have the money, they can't have their shining city.
Let's talk to John. He's on the line in Virginia, watching on YouTube. John, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian Johnson and Conan.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, John.
I really don't care about anything going on over in Britain. You know, that's a cluster F, you know.
Mm.
But anyway, I heard you. I'm watching you on YouTube, by the way. And I'm Johnny Doe VA on that chat on there. Well, anyway, you're talking about... any of the states succeeding from the union, we're never going to see that.
Why?
First of all, I'm almost 60 years old. I'm a United States Marine Corps combat veteran. And originally I'm from New Jersey. I was a narcotics and vice cop there for a good number of years.
And, sorry to hear that.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many lives do you think you ruined?
Well, I tell you, I got a 13 confirmed count. I don't know the rest of it when it rained.
13 confirmed?
I didn't ask how many you ended. I said, how many did you ruin?
He was talking about as a cop, as a vice cop, a narcotics cop, where you put peaceful people behind bars who haven't harmed anyone else.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, fellas, because actually I resigned.
Okay.
I resigned. And I had a YouTube channel, and they got rid of it because actually I was exposing people, okay? So you don't need to jump on me for that. Actually, I'm one of the cops that's involved, and marijuana should be illegal. I'm part of that organization.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that you say that. Now, do you agree that all other drugs should also be legal? That prohibition should be ended?
Well, I tell you, I'm a little bit conflicted about that, but I'm going to tell you something, and this is only my opinion now. If all these things were legal, I truly believe that it wouldn't be as bad as it is now.
I agree.
Does that make any sense?
No, it makes total sense. I mean, for instance, crack cocaine probably never would have come into existence if cocaine itself wasn't prohibited.
Let me tell you something. Crack exploded, okay? I mean, it exploded. And if you really want to get into it, the things that I was exposing on my YouTube channel, okay, and my undercover name, okay, was Eastland. Now, the thing is, if you only knew who was bringing these drugs in, okay?
Yes, the CIA.
We've heard a lot of stories.
The Cocaine Import Agency.
Now, all right, let me check this out. This fentanyl, right? Okay. Now, if you're a drug dealer and you're putting fentanyl in your heroin and people are dropping like flies, well, who's going to be your repeat customer?
Yeah, it doesn't make
sense. Where is that fentanyl coming from, brother? Because it's not coming from China. They want to blame China.
Mm. You think it's the government?
It's the United States government, brother. Let me tell you something, okay? Just let me get off the drugs, and I'll get back to that.
All right.
But here in Virginia, I live in Roanoke, Virginia, okay? Roanoke County, actually, because I live rural. But the thing is, last election for the president, right? Well, my wife and I, we go down there to the Glenver Middle School to vote. And you got to show your ID. Now, my wife, they told my wife that she couldn't vote because she already voted. They said she sent in an absentee ballot. That never occurred.
Ooh, okay.
That never occurred. So anyway, you know, she had to fill out this paper, and we had to go down to the election, whatever the hell you call it, you know, see the lady down there within 3 days. Well, why? If you believe in the government and you believe in the election process, it's all BS, okay?
It is all BS. Hold that thought, John, if you can. We'll let you finish your story on the way here. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. Former vice cop. Sounds like he might be against the war on drugs. I like to hear that. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You may join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord call-in line rooms. Coming up, Fortnite addictions have resulted in a lawsuit against the company that makes the game up in Canada. Plus, with you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian here.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
Edge Wallet, the best cryptocurrency wallet out there. It's the one that I use more often than any other I just used it today. I actually had some food over at the delicious local burger here in town. We actually can spend cryptocurrency in real life here in Keene. And, you know, Bitcoin's very useful in a lot of ways. Cryptocurrencies like Ethereum, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and others. There's a couple dozen options that you can buy, sell, trade, and securely hold with your Edge wallet. It's available for iOS and Android. You can just go and download it from your app store. Or you can go to edge.app if you want to learn more about the technology behind Edge. Go to edge.app. That's their website. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet. As we continue here. Yes, Conan.
By the way, I load up Twitch, lrn.fm Twitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess what? Oh, it's Fortnite.
It's an advertisement for Fortnite. So let's go back to John. He's a former cop in Virginia, originally called to talk about secession. And I want to get back into that topic, John, but you were telling us a story about your wife was told when she went to go vote that she had already voted via absentee, which was a surprise to her. Right. And you were telling us what happened there.
And that is absolutely true. Here's what happened. We have 8 grandchildren. And I have 3 daughters in their 30s, and my oldest is a registered nurse. So my wife watches the kids, and she didn't know if she was going to be able to make it to vote for the presidential election.
Okay.
So she had an absentee ballot sent to the house here. Well, it never was sent in. I actually have it locked up in my gun safe, okay? It was never sent in. I still have it to this day. So when that happened down there at the Glenbrook Middle School here, and we had to go see the lady down there at the registrar's office within 3 days, which we did. But now what I did, I went in on Facebook, I went and messaged 2 reporters at WSLS 10, and they would, matter of fact, they never even responded to me. They never responded to me.
Huh.
Now, there's one congressman here that actually grew up with my wife.
Okay, but before you go deeper into the story here, I mean, I want to ask you a question about what you've been saying so far. She did ask for an absentee ballot. She received it, but she never actually sent it in. She went and tried to vote, and they told her, well, no, we can't do that because you voted absentee. Even though, so they didn't have any record of her actually sending the ballot in. They only had a record of them sending it to her.
I still have it as we speak. She never sent it in. I got it.
Wow.
You know, I could actually, I could email you. You know, I could take a picture of it and email it to you. It was never sent in.
So where did this end up? I mean, how did this shake out when everything was said and done? Like when you met with whoever you needed to meet with? Let's cut the story short here.
Well, the lady at the registrar's office, the election registrar's office, they wouldn't give us any information, and as far as they're concerned, okay, so when she went and voted at the polling place, that's going to be her vote, but they would not explain anything.
Wait, I thought they didn't let her vote at the polling place.
They did let her vote, but she had to fill out a paper.
Okay, so she was able to vote. Okay, well, for a moment there, I thought that she was denied to be able to vote at all, in which case you probably would have had some sort of lawsuit that you could have filed. Let's get back to secession. Conan, you wanted him to answer a question about what he'd originally called about?
Yeah, you're very adamant that no state will leave the union, and I was curious as to why you think that.
That's never going to happen. You know, our country, okay, like I said, I'm almost 60 years old. The world has changed. Our country has changed. You got a bunch of snowflakes out there, okay? And I'm not, you know, I'll tell you right now, I voted for Trump, but I'm actually not a Republican. I never was a Republican. I'm actually a libertarian, okay?
Okay.
But the thing is, you know, I mean, it was, you know, as my granddad used to say, the lesser evil, you know? And
sure.
There's no sense voting for just no, and this is also my thing.
So hold on, but are you saying that people aren't going to secede because there's too many snowflakes around? Is that your reason?
No, here's the thing. No. Now you're just trying to spin my words.
No, I just want to know what you're saying. Go ahead.
Well, secession from a union is a very big process. Now, look what's going on in California right now. Okay, California, that's a cluster F too. Now, take, for example, here in Roanoke County, there is the County Board of Supervisors. So you got 5 people sitting up there, actually making law. You know, they're coming up with these ordinances, and recently it was one that you cannot get this. This is something here. This will prove what I'm saying, because the government's infiltrated, even locally, all the way up to the top. So the Roanoke County Board of Supervisors, several months back, had come up with a county ordinance that you're not allowed to sleep or live in your vehicle. But here's the catch, brother. Even on private property.
Oh, man. Okay, but how does that have anything to do with secession? I mean, that's terrible that they would do that.
Well, it has a lot to do with it.
What if your vehicle is a motorhome?
I think that's actually probably
that's the purpose
of this. People sleeping in their travel trailers and stuff.
They want to put a stop to that.
Well, no, they're saying your vehicle, your car. You know, I mean, and I know people who were homeless, and they would sleep up there at the Walmart down there in Salem. Okay.
Okay, but you got to make this make sense to me as to what that ordinance has anything to do with what you're saying, which is people are less likely or not interested in leaving the United States, or they won't.
It has everything to do with it, because you're not going to get enough people to agree to succeed from the union.
I mean, that's a big challenge. I definitely agree with you there. And John, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. And that goes back to what you were saying, Conan. If people
exactly
are comfortable.
The normies are still comfortable. And the only way to get them out of it is
bread lines.
And it will happen. And the soy boys and the snowflakes, yeah, they're not going to have guns, mm-hmm. but they're going to have their automobiles, and they're going to have their pitchforks, and they're going to be out there throwing rocks through windows. So yeah, I mean,
why is it that only the 1% of the 1% has bread?
But here's the biggest point to make about the soy boys. They're the ones who are going to be left with all of the debt and nothing. They're not going to have their Social Security. They're not going to have a medical care system that even works for them. They're just going to have debt.
Let me be clear, though. They will at least have free schooling.
That taught them to be good, indoctrinated button pushers.
Okay, but wait. You're saying only the soy boys are going to have to pay the debt? I'm pretty sure the government's going to try to force that on everybody that can get away with
forcing it on. Oh, yeah. Here's the difference. The three of us in this room, Generation X and a little bit, you're kind of a millennial. We're Zennials.
Technically Zennials.
We're Zennials. Okay.
Yeah.
At least we know how to do things. At least I do. At least I, you know, I consider myself to be a jack of all trades. You know, I'm out there, you know,
I can build a computer.
I can do that too.
All right. You guys are lost too.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to do as much as possible to cut out the middleman and to learn all these things myself, because I know this has come down the pike. This is going to be
I'm looking for someone to install a ladder up to my attic currently. Can you do that? Can I hire you?
Well, there's a possibility. We'll talk during the break.
I might have to move a fire alarm, though, so there's probably some electrical and code
Wait,
and stuff.
Wait, you don't own your house. You're renting,
yeah,
right?
No, I own.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about that during the break. Yeah, so we're all going to be stuck with this debt, but at least we are capable of adapting, of learning new things. Whereas some of these kids, these trophy, every kid gets a trophy. Kids, they don't know how to do anything. I mean, they can change the clock on the VCR.
That's one of the things about young people is they get a lot of credit for being all technologically sound, but they really don't know what they're doing. Like, they may know how to use their phone, but they don't know anything about the settings in the phone. They don't know any of the actual back end how things work.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how I just plugged into the Wi-Fi when I got here to the studio this evening. Back in the day, 15 years ago, that was an ordeal.
It was, yes.
You know, hooking up to online. Whereas right now, all you have to do, your phone is already plugged. Is already installed that way.
Yeah, good luck getting one of these Zennials.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with my girlfriend who's younger than me. She's actually 1 year
younger.
Is
she a Z or a millennial?
She would be millennial.
Just 80, at the 80, end. She's 80, at the tail end.
83 yeah. is the cutoff for X and Y.
She's depends who not you that ask. Young. She's about 1 year younger than my brother, who passed away, would have been. And I was having a conversation with her, you know, specifically because I remember, you know, growing up with my brother about how this generation grew up with the opportunities to learn. They grew up with search engines and just, you know, I was kind of lamenting the fact that if I had had access to that amount of information when I was younger, I was one of these, you know, kids that wanted to learn and just couldn't necessarily get access to the information.
All you had was the encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Hold that thought. We can continue on young people and technology and conflicts. We're coming up. Free time.
Do you have a qualified plan, an IRA, 401k, or some other type of investment account? Would you like to learn how the ultra-wealthy take their retirement accounts and make them legally 100% tax-free? Have your money liquid and invest in literally anything you want to, completely tax-free with the blessing of the IRS. And no, it's not a Roth. Join us at dna.freetalklive.com for more details and your exclusive invitation to the free webinar on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Register now at dna.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial in toll free. Bring up whatever you want here. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up tonight, people who are addicted to Fortnite are filing a lawsuit against the company that made the game. We'll tell you about that on the way here. By the way, with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
Don't forget, you can join us online anytime you want. We got archives. They go way back, all the way to 2006. Download as many of them as you want for free over at freetalklive.com. So feel free to do that. We were talking about secession and kind of young. We ended up talking about young people today and how, while on one hand they're immersed constantly in technology, like if you see a young person, it's almost guaranteed. I mean, we're not old, right? Like we're about 40s, early 40s here, late 30s. So we're kind of zennials, right, between Generation X and the millennials.
We're the transition from the skeptical X generation to the optimistic, idealistic millennials.
Are they optimistic? I've heard they're super depressed because they're all
debt. Yes, the iGen, this next crop, this next generation, they are the super depressed ones. The millennials are very optimistic.
I thought
optimistic.
The millennials were the ones that were depressed.
Not the ones I've seen.
Yeah, well, the ones I've seen are.
There's been headlines recently. I mean, obviously, individuals are different, right? Yeah, it's not fair to talk about individuals when we're talking about generations, but there have been headlines recently about how Gen X and millennials are like super in debt and not so happy about it. But I guess they were saying the Gen Xers are less happy about it. So maybe the millennials are a little more optimistic.
Mm-hmm. I really do. So I'm a huge fan of the 80-year generational cycle. You know, you have four generations every 80 years, and then there's a reset. Mm-hmm. And then you have the same four generations that continue on. The boomers, just look at all the millennials, you know, and all the boomers, you know, they are so similar. And then you've got us, and we're all a little pessimistic. We're always questioning authority, very skeptical about everything. And
I would say the millennials and boomers are alike. I don't know.
And that's why they're always yelling at. That's why they hate each other so much, because they're so similar. Yeah. No, we have more in common with this next crop, the actual depressed kids.
With the Z's,
these
the
poor
Generation
kids
Z.
That just, they really know, they don't really know what's going on, but they could feel it.
The Zoomers?
The Zoomers, the iGen, the snowflakes. Z. These poor guys, they don't know what's really coming down the pike, but it's a feeling, and that's why they're, yeah, you know, these, well, I feel so bad for them, because they can't do anything. So worthless.
Well,
but they're going to have to pick up the slack, and they're going to figure it out, but it's going to be pain.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to have to worry about it. We're going to have AI by
you think the robots are going to handle it?
AI and
make people even more worthless.
And $1,000 a month or a year or whatever it is.
Right?
The new Yang gang.
The Yang gang.
So if you want to weigh in here, you can. Are we, you know, on it with these generational discussions, or are we way off base? The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. But what I was saying was, like, you've got these younger generations constantly immersed in technology. Like, they don't look up from their phone when they're walking down the street. You know, they're constantly doing something on the phone, but they don't really know.
We really need heads-up displays.
That's going to happen. Like, I mean, Google had Google Glass.
Yeah, it's, well, those things are awful.
It didn't work very well, from what I understand, but it's only a matter of time. You know, they'll probably have one that projects right into your retina or something like
you
that.
You know, I was thinking about that, because it's really going to suck whenever we start jacking in, you know, to really access the
Matrix,
the world around us.
Get your head jacked.
Exactly. You know how hard it's going to be for us? Because we do everything manually. I mean, it's like, it's gonna just think of your old granddad playing Atari with you, 2600 or something. He couldn't figure it out. It's gonna be the same for us. Whenever the new
technology,
you don't think you could jack in? I think your head is not wired right. I don't think you will be capable. But this new generation of depressies, they're probably gonna pick it right up. Especially when they're playing their latest games.
All I do is game, man. I'm like, I talk to people who are a lot younger. I'm like constantly on Twitch. I talk to people who are a lot younger.
And how much virtual reality do you play? It's all 2D.
I want a virtual reality headset. It's just expensive. I don't think a lot of people of that age, have the virtual reality.
I wonder what the demographics are. Yeah, I wonder what the demographics are of the virtual reality users, because I did get a chance to try out the first version of Oculus, which, still has cables on it. Mm-hmm. That's got to go away. I was at Derek J's house, actually. I think it was late last year or
earlier
this
year. I'd love to be playing Beat Saber right now, but I just don't have the rig.
It was amazing. Yeah. I had used, the Google Cardboard thing.
I've got a Google Cardboard myself.
That's like a gimmick. It's kind of cool. It kind of gives you a little taste of what it's like. But the Oculus is much more immersive. Very, very cool, and the games are fun, the ones that I played. And this is still early. It's early generation.
Yeah, exactly. It's still new technology, and it's still visual. I'm talking about actually jacking in.
I know what you're saying.
Our brains are not wired.
What do you think, 10 years? We're going to have 10 more years before that happens?
If we don't bomb ourselves back to the Stone Age, which is possible.
I think 10 years is pretty optimistic, but maybe.
Optimistic? Yeah. I would say at the very least it's going to take 10 years to get to that point, because you've got to get – they're getting it to the point where these headsets can operate wirelessly now, where you don't have these tethers that are holding you to the machine.
You have to have a PC and something that's light enough to put on your head.
Right. Or the hardware itself can just go on your head. And that's what they're starting to come out with, is just
They've figured out somehow to have a wireless connection to the processing happening.
There's another version of, I think, Oculus, which unfortunately is owned by Facebook.
Yeah.
But that is actually a self-contained unit that doesn't have to have a PC, because that's one of the things that was holding people back. The first generation of virtual reality, and we're talking the more recent first gen, not the 90s, but the first generation of these sets, the set itself was super expensive, $500-$600.
You have to remember, though, that there's a trade-off, because you can have these different levels of headset, right? So that Facebook one is low power.
It won't be as good.
It's not as good. Yeah. It's lower resolution.
But that's where it's going.
Sure.
That's where it's going. I'm just giving you the example of one of the reasons why it was cost prohibitive is not just because you had to spend $600 on the headset, but you also have to have a balls-to-the-wall computer, like a $2,000 computer, to do with dual graphics, right?
Because
your graphics card has to send out two images, one for your left eye and one for your right eye. So it has to have twice the graphics processing ability. So you have to have a real ballsy computer on top of that. So that's one of the main reasons. If they can get virtual, a usable, entertaining form of virtual reality down to $300, where it's just all self-contained, you don't have any wires coming off, that's going to be the next
adoption. Oh, and keep in mind, it can't be anything you have to build. Because these kids don't know how to build anything, so it has to be all self-contained in the package, ready to go.
Well, and they're making it easier, right? They're making it easier because,
at least for mainstream, I would suggest that's not true of gamers.
Yeah, I'm wondering,
gamers, people who are gamers, they are PC builders. I mean, even younger kids, they know how to build the PC.
Really,
but.
Yeah, but not all of them.
But you're still talking about gamers. Yeah, not all of them, but a good portion of them.
I knew a gamer who I was over at her house a couple years ago, and her graphics card stopped working. Her game wasn't loading, and I was able to help her solve the problem by updating her graphics driver.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She's a gamer. She didn't know how to do that. Okay, so I don't know if I buy it. I think that a gamer may be more likely than the average, say, phone user to be able to build their own computer. But I'm betting you that's still the minority.
Yeah, wait till you
them.
Can't access your favorite game and you start learning things
real
quick.
I don't know. I've seen, girls and people on Twitch, that they don't know how to do that. Look, they don't know how to change a graphics card. They literally go on Google, watch a YouTube video, figure it out, and then they have it solved in a couple hours. I've read and talked to people who exactly something like that has happened to.
Uh-huh.
They just go and watch a YouTube video and then take care of it.
I'm glad to hear that they're able to do that. Gives me a little hope for the future.
I mean, so there is.
I tend to agree with Conan, though, on this one. I think that they're not particularly.
I think for mainstream adoption, I completely agree. I think I completely agree with for mainstream adoption, but I do think that there is still a contingent of people who I feel like the gamers, if you're a gamer in general, you're more hardware adapt with or hardware adept.
If you're
with
a PC
computers.
Gamer, sure.
Yeah, PC gamer. Yeah.
Which is all you consoles out there, you suck.
Yeah, console.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't be mean. Stop being mean.
The only reason I'm playing Destiny 2 right now because it's PC, and I can shoot you in the eyeball doing backflips, and you with your stupid little hand controller aiming with your thumb, whereas I'm aiming with a mouse and my whole arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking specifically about first person shooter
Conan
games.
There
are
There are
genres of gaming where controllers are actually superior.
Well, like let's get into
you
first
like platformers
person.
And stuff.
Yeah. Let's get Roguelike. You want to talk about that game? You've got a game of the week here tonight.
We could talk about
Conan.
That anytime. You could talk
That's
about after Fortnite.
Well, we haven't done a game of the week in a while, so we're gonna get to that. But yeah, there's Fortnite addiction. There's a lawsuit that's been filed. So let's get into that coming up here. 855 450 free if you want to weigh in here. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You're invited if you want to join us on the radio. Coming up, video game addiction. Two young people, at least two of them, are being represented in a lawsuit being filed apparently against the company behind Fortnite. What is Fortnite? Well, if you've been living under a rock for the last couple of years, you may never have heard of it. If you've got any young people living in your family, you probably have heard of it. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. And then coming up, we'll stick on the gaming topic here a little bit as Conan has a game of the week. And since he's back, we actually haven't had a game of the week since Conan was last here. I don't think so. It's good to have you back here. By the way, HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com is where you can go to start taking cryptocurrency at your business, whether it's a physical location where customers come in and buy things, or maybe you're a service provider and you go to your customers and provide them with some sort of a service or product and you want to collect with cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or Dash or Bitcoin Cash. The app that you can get from HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com, the AnyPay Take Crypto app, it's super easy. It makes it really easy to accept cryptocurrency. You'll be up and running within moments. Just go to HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. If you're used to like credit card merchant processing and you know that's a huge hassle with applications and a lot of waiting and a lot of privacy invasion and not to mention fees, none of that applies to HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. You just go get started, open up an account. There's no jumping through hoops. There's no paperwork. There's no fees. You accept cryptocurrency. You keep 100% of the sale through HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. And their apps are available for iOS or Android. And you can also just use any old web browser as well. So you don't even have to use their app. It's pretty sweet. It's HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. As we go to the story here from CBC News, the government news source there in Canada, reporting where a Montreal legal firm has requested authorization to launch a class action lawsuit against the widely popular video game Fortnite. A legal notice filed on behalf of the parents of two minors aged 10 and 15 likens the effect of the game to cocaine, saying it releases the chemical dopamine to the brain of vulnerable young people who can become dependent on
play. The next
thing
that they will be banning is sex, reading websites, seeing things that they like. What else? Releases dopamine.
Yeah, anything
any positive
that releases
experience.
Dopamine.
Well, you can have the positive experiences, Johnson. You're just going to need to get a license first.
Oh, right.
And it
okay.
has to be approved by your betters.
Alessandra Esposito, one of the attorneys with Calex Legal, says, "We dug into it and realized there was a strong case for it." Ms. Esposito Chartrand and her firm was contacted by the parents interested in suing the company for producing such an addictive game.
Ugh, these are just ambulance chasers.
She's asking others concerned about their child's dependence on the game to come forward to join the class action suit. The authorization request was filed in Montreal court recently against U.S.-based Epic Games Incorporated and its Canadian subsidiary. Much of the suit is based on a 2015 Quebec Superior Court ruling that determined tobacco companies didn't warn their customers about the dangers of smoking. Huh? I've been to Canada, and it was a decade ago, more than a decade ago, and there are, like, it's hard to even get cigarettes in Canada. Like, if I recall correctly, they had those packs, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this, Canadians. I could swear the Canadians had those packs of cigarettes where they had, like, pictures of black lungs and, like, dead babies.
Oh, God.
And it's, and when you open your pack up, it's like a cigarette from Fifth Element, where it's just like a, the filter is like 3 inches long, and it's just got a quarter inch of actual tobacco.
Well, I didn't actually buy a pack of cigarettes there, but when you go into the store,
and they're $15 a pack too.
The other thing, when I went into the store, they didn't have them on display. It wasn't like in the U.S. where you can just walk in and see behind the counter. You had to get a book.
Yeah, they're back there with the girly magazines behind the counter.
They're stored away. There was like a flip book, like a 8.5 by 11 sheets of, you know, mm-hmm. paper or whatever. You had to flip through and say, oh, Marlboro, okay, yeah, here, pack of whatever. That was their display. So, I mean, it's not like, and they're saying here, this was a 2015 suit.
And then they, like, you buy a pack of cigarettes from the flip book, the cashier turns around, flips open some latches on a drawer, comes out, they put on a yellow hazmat suit, they, you know, like, their vault opens, they go in to grab the cigarette, they come out with some tongs, they're holding it.
That's probably what
dangerous.
It's like now.
And everything is glowing.
Yeah. It's probably like that now. It's been 10 years since I've been to Canada.
It's so silly.
Terrifying.
How is Canada on the whole vaping situation these days?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Are they trying to ban it too, like we are here in
the
States?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Not we, the knucklehead politicians.
The nannies. It wouldn't surprise me. If you're in Canada and you can answer the question, feel free to jump in here, or you can check CBC and see if they got any stories. But so anyway, back to the story about video games. The attorney says it's basically the same legal basis. It's very centered on the duty to inform. That multi-billion dollar tobacco lawsuit is still playing out in court as the three implicated companies look to secure their creditor protection. Tobacco empires have been built over centuries, but Fortnite is proving to be a modern-day cash crop of its own. Epic Games is now worth billions of dollars, largely because of the game's success. And that success was built from extensive research and development that was aimed at creating an addictive game.
Well, there's an addictive game that I play.
That's every game out there.
There's an addictive game that I play that's under Epic Games.
Which one?
Satisfactory.
What is that?
It is a factory building game.
Oh, okay.
That is constant. It's in early access.
Like Sim Factory, basically?
I wouldn't call it a sim game. It's more like a first-person game.
Oh,
which
really?
Is surprising. But it's like you continually advance the materials that you're building with to build more and more complicated machines. And those allow you to then manufacture other more complicated things. And essentially, the idea is that you are potentially working as a, you know, kind of an underling for a much, much more advanced civilization. Hmm. Potentially. I don't know. I don't know.
So is it one of those games where it's free to download, but then they monetize it inside the game? That's what they do with Fortnite.
Cyber transactions.
No, you just pay for the game once.
So you pay for it, and then you don't have to keep putting in. But it's the same company that makes the game.
Well, it's exclusive to the Epic Games Store.
Oh, okay. So maybe they're doing what Valve did and expanding out their store to where other companies can market through there. I see. So Epic Games, quote, according to the attorneys, when they created Fortnite for years and years, hired psychologists. They really dug into the human brain, and they really made the effort to make it as addictive as possible. They knowingly put on the market a very, very addictive game, which was also geared towards youth. When something is that dangerously addictive, said the attorney, it's company's responsibility to warn users of the risk, she said. Quote, in our case, the two parents that came forward and told, if we knew it was so addictive, it would ruin our child's life. We would never have let them start playing Fortnite.
Man, we should ban schools under that kind of qualification.
School's
are very
not addictive.
Sure, they're forced to be in there every day. They're constantly being exposed
to the opposite of addictive.
Any sane child wants to leave.
These adults clearly are addicted to it. It's harmful, right? And yet they're continually subjecting these kids to it, so they must be addictive to this harmful behavior. It's harming their society, and yet they're doing it anyway.
But
right?
Johnson, if we didn't have government-run schools, we'd be surrounded by stupid people.
No, that's the exact opposite of true, though.
Well, that's, yes.
We are, in fact, being surrounded by stupid people because of government.
It's true.
It is true.
All right, there's more on the way here on this apparently 38-page lawsuit. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If they get away with this, then look out every other software company in Canada, because as you pointed out, Most games are pretty addictive. Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com. It is Free Talk Live. Fortnite lawsuit. It's happening in Canada. And was that going to mean that it's going to face such scrutiny in other places? Well, certainly if they can get away with this, as well as every other video game company that has any kind of arm or subsidiary in Canada, they better start watching this real closely, because you've essentially got a set of attorneys that figured that a lawsuit that was successful, apparently, in 2015 against tobacco companies, saying, well, you tobacco companies, you didn't give enough warnings. So you lose this lawsuit. You need to put more warnings out there, because people in 2015 didn't know that cigarettes are addictive and dangerous. And that's what they're coming at the Epic Games, who's the company behind Fortnite, one of the most popular games on the planet, for the last couple of years. If you want to weigh in here, you're welcome to. Have you been addicted to video games? Because addiction to video games goes way back. I mean, there have been people, I can remember. Remember EverQuest back in the day? Did you ever hear about that one?
Do I?
Yeah. Were you hooked on that?
Dungeons and Dragons before video games.
Was that as addictive? Dungeons and Dragons?
Sure.
Really?
And people were killing each other too with swords.
Yeah.
And they were worshiping Satan and the whole nine.
Nuh-uh. That's mythology.
That's what the pastor told me.
Okay, yeah.
Don't play Dungeons and Dragons. It's demons. It's demons and devils. And you'll be killing your parents before you know it.
Just like Harry Potter, right? Now,
yeah.
Well, look, I was never into D&D. That was never something I did. Maybe you guys have some experience with that, but I can't imagine it being as addictive as gaming. You don't have the immediacy. You know, with D&D, you had to, like, go and be with people, right? Like, you had to go meet with people, and you had to, you know, get out the dice and get out, you know, the paper and the pen, and there was preparation, and there was time that was spent. Whereas with Fortnite, you just plop down in front of the computer, or from what I understand, they even have like a phone version that a lot of kids play. I saw something on YouTube the other night where they were talking about how it was, you know, people who were our age, actually, the video game nerd. You ever seen his channel before?
Sure, I didn't watch it frequently, but I heard of it.
Angry Video Game Nerd. They do like video game reviews. They have the Angry Video Game Nerd character, but then they have like their real guys that are behind the show that do just kind of gaming discussion. And they're talking about how a lot of young people specifically aren't playing Fortnite on the computer. They're playing a version of it on their phone. Mm-hmm. So they literally have it everywhere they go, which of course makes being addicted to something a heck of a lot easier. If you can pull it out in the back of your parents' car, if you can, you know, sit down at the computer when you're home and play the full version or whatever, it's there constantly.
Yeah,
so
what these ambulance chasers have gotten correct is that, yes, these games are designed to reward the human brain, the human psyche, with all the bells and whistles that really do, they get you. And it wasn't that prevalent in Dungeons and Dragons.
I imagine there was
a lot more work involved, but I mean, when you think about all of the tones and the sounds and the flashing lights and the whole nine, the reward system, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a reason why I've seen people actually involving themselves with these microtransactions, where they're actually getting back to the break room during work and they're dropping $10, $15, $20 on a stupid pack or something.
You've seen this happening?
I've seen it happen.
Your workplace?
At one of my old workplaces. Uh-huh. I've seen it. I've seen them drop half of their paycheck on microtransactions.
On video games.
But wow. I've also seen the same crew doing it on Magic the Gathering cards.
Okay.
Where they'll go buy a handful of packets up at the front desk, and they'll come back to the break room and they'll have an unveiling. They'll have an opening. And they'll all everyone
was this
get a,
Walmart? Was
this Walmart?
Walmart?
This is Walmart third shift. And there would be some guy would just, he would fork out $30 and he would buy
just to see what was in the packs.
He would buy, well, I mean, he They played every single evening, and they were good at it. I mean, they liked what
I think all of us here have probably – I know you and I, Johnson, we played Magic the Gathering at some point in the past. Mm-hmm. Conan, have you ever played the game?
On the PC and on the PlayStation,
So you never played the actual card – you've never played the actual physical card game?
No, but I do sell them a lot.
Online.
On eBay.
You sell them, okay. Well, at least with the card game, you actually get the cards. You know, you actually have. I mean, not that it's worth it.
And a whole lot of cards that you're never going to use.
You'll never, right? Yeah. I've still got Johnson's brother's cards sitting up here on the shelves. I haven't done anything with them in however many years.
Actually,
it's been.
I do play. So I'm playing two games right now, and one of them is South Park Phone Destroyer, which is basically a.
I've heard about it.
It's a card collection game. It's like your basic Magic the Gathering, but it's. There's action involved.
And are there microtransactions?
So you're collect. You can if you want to go that route.
I wish I could say that you had bought those cards for me, the Magic the Gathering cards, in crypto, because then it would be just embarrassing.
Oh, I know. That was a long time ago. I bought those.
Because then then I could say, oh yeah, I sold that whatever card
for $1 million.
Yeah, I have played a lot of games in my time. With these attachments, with these added bonuses, and I don't think I've ever spent money on.
By microtransactions.
I just don't go that way. And I play a lot of free games too. By the way, the gaming industry would change overnight, or it would collapse if it was just Conan's running the show. Because
if you're the only player.
Because I wait for. I'm the guy on Steam who has my wish list full, and I won't buy a game till it's 80%
below 20 bucks.
Rockstar is going to get me again.
I won't buy it unless it's 80% off.
Yeah. I can tell you this.
And I get games all the time. You just got to wait. You just got to sit there and wait.
Oh, I'm patient like that, too.
Yeah,
Rockstar Games is going to get me again.
What, they got Grand me Theft
with,
Auto 6?
No, they got me with Grand Theft Auto, and they're going to get me again with Red Dead Redemption. And that is, when I say that they get me, they get me in that I want to play the game when the game comes out,
right?
So I buy it for the console that I have.
Yeah.
And then they wait 6 months or whatever, and then they release it for the PC.
And you want to buy it a second time?
I do want to buy it a second time.
Just because it's got better graphics?
Well, not only that, but because there are two different audiences that play it on console and that play it on PC. So if you want to play with your friends... Right, and you have friends that are different friend groups that play in different places.
You know, for
the casuals are the ones that are on the console, and casuals are not so fun to play with.
For the longest time, I think the last game I played that was PC / console players was one of the Halo. I think it was the first Halo. And they did away with it because the PCers would just get in there and they would annihilate the consolers because they just couldn't. You can't compete with a guy with a keyboard and mouse. There's just too much finesse. Destiny 2. They are actually looking into if you get your Bungie account set up where you can actually cross.
Yeah, more and more games are starting to finally enter this world of true. Interconnectivity, yeah, and it's really I think it's really going to be mostly a boon for the gaming industry. I think having these communities, because one of the things that makes these games last forever and ever and ever again is the modding communities,
right.
And just having a community build up around a game in general keeps that game alive.
Which is why PC...
They're still modding Doom games, after 25 years.
The thing is that a lot of these developers, a lot of these games with the microtransaction and all that, what they don't understand is that's extremely short-sighted. Your game dies, right? And there's this concept, anybody who's read a lot of marketing and online, media stuff has probably heard of Chris Anderson. Chris Anderson is a writer. He wrote a book, Free, The Future of Radical Price. He's written another book, The Long Tail. And
I've
a lot of
that.
People have heard of The Long Tail. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, Long Tail is, essentially as the internet has become more and more popular, more and more niche markets are springing up because in... online and in economics in general, the long tail is where all the money is to be made. And that is that there's basically this logarithmic graph of the popularity of something. And, the way industries used to be built is around the hits, the mega hits, like music industry used mm-hmm. to be built around, one or two songs, one or two movies that would just be, they'd put all their money into it and focus it. And that's, they'd get all their return out of it. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore.
Because everyone's doing it. So you have more competition and they're all trying to win.
Exactly.
And so they're just making a bunch of crap.
So now where all the money is where you can get a community that exists for a long period of time in these much, much smaller niches and finding the correct niche to get enough attraction in popularity, but also you get this huge spread of just a trickle. You get a trickle of income over a very long amount of time, and that adds up to a lot more.
Well, don't tell that to the Fortnite people, because they've made a bunch of money in the first few years. There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's
855-450-3733.
Take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll free here. If you can put down the Fortnite, you can call in, that is. According to the
bunch
lawsuit,
of addicts out there.
According to the lawsuit in Canada, they're going after Epic Games, saying Fortnite's addictive and they didn't have the appropriate warning labels. And I guess they want an on-screen warning or something. I'm not sure exactly what's going to come out of this, but it doesn't sound good. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
Also, I want to make sure you know about Liberty.menu. If you're a liberty-minded person, an individual who rejects the initiation of force and agrees to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle, you really ought to have the things that you do listed over at Liberty.menu. Maybe you've got a business. Maybe there's an event that you're involved in creating. Perhaps you're a digital content creator, and you want people to know, people who care about freedom, that is, to know what you do. Well, that's what Liberty.menu is all about. It's about bringing new people to your business who also care about freedom. You can go to liberty.menu to get signed up and get started. You can use code FTL on your user profile and get a Free Talk Live listener badge. And it's a free site, so you can list all the things that you're doing and get some free exposure for no cost. Now, you can upgrade and, you know, promote your site a little bit further than the other ones on the site. But again, by itself, the site is free to use. So get started over at liberty.menu. 38-page request of authorization filed in court in Canada, in Montreal court, just last week. According to the attorneys there, they're using a court case that had previously been successful against tobacco companies, where they were being found to have not been warning labeled up enough. So without enough warnings, people are just having, they're just making a mistake. According to these parents here, they said the parents involved in this case, two young people aged 10 and 15, are the plaintiffs here. The parents said, "We would never have let them start playing Fortnite, or at least we would have monitored it a lot more closely if we'd known it was so addictive that it would ruin our child's life."
How's that Surgeon General warning on the pack of cigarettes actually stopping nicotine abuse?
Well, they're just saying they need to have bigger warnings, more warnings. You know, it's not big enough. Which is why they started putting like dead babies on cigarette packs.
And has that actually halted the sale of cigarettes?
I don't know. Chartrand, the attorney, was unable to say how much money her firm is going to be seeking or when the judge will rule on the request. Fortnite is a free-to-download game that earns much of its revenue through in-game purchases. Players can upgrade their characters by purchasing outfits, accessories, and access to certain levels. Epic Games did not immediately reply to a request for comment, although their company's terms of service does include a class action waiver provision. You know, when you install all this software that you install these days, and actually every day in the past, where these software terms of service come up, you guys read that stuff, right?
Oh, of course. I've seen, was the South Park, I can't remember the name of it anymore.
What, did they make fun of terms of service?
Oh, you better believe they did. No one reads it.
Right. Well, apparently in the terms of service here, there's a class action waiver, meaning that you give up the right to go to court. So you're agreeing to arbitration, basically, if you know, if you have some sort of dispute. But the attorney...
That's right. It was the sent to iPad.
Oh, yeah, sent to iPad.
The attorney said that those terms of service don't stand up in court in Quebec because the province's Consumer Protection Act requires company to clearly disclose risks associated with products or services. Epic Games is also facing legal action in California, and she expects more cases will be launched elsewhere. The most recent version of the game, Fortnite Battle Royale, has more than 125 million players worldwide. So,
I want to know, what types of damages have these kids suffered?
Well, yeah, they don't get into exactly how their lives have been ruined. The mother did say that her child's life was ruined.
So they're 15-year-olds.
Or 10. There's probably a 10 and a 15-year-old.
They don't, like we've talked about, this generation doesn't do anything. They know how to look at their
screens. Yeah, what are they missing out on? Exactly.
Maybe they got a hold of mommy's credit card and made a whole bunch of transactions or something.
You better believe it.
or maybe they, or maybe they're hugely obese and they're just sitting there and they've got diabetes Could and they just, they're wasting away. Who knows? But I don't know.
My guess would be that to go the other route, not what they're running towards, but maybe what are they running away from?
Their own parents, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe they're escaping something.
Well, why do we... what are you trying to say, Johnson? Because we all three are heavy gamers. Are we not heavy at all.
Yeah.
Are we trying to escape reality?
I wish I could play more games. And yeah, absolutely.
It's been months for me. I haven't played a game in months.
Yeah, for me, absolutely. It's an escape from reality. And it's well, for me, I also play a lot of puzzle games. So it's, you know, like literally... Mm-hmm. It's, you know... escaping boredom for me. I don't have, I guess, enough, you know, there just aren't a lot of tasks that keep me very interested, you know, and it's like, well, that's one that does, you know, but I'm not really playing, you know, like Fortnite. I kind of grown out of the mindless first person shooter. I require, extremely complicated games now.
You need more brainy
stuff.
Games
nowadays are like outstanding. Like I've been playing games like Oxygen Not Included and Satisfactory and like the level of science to some of these games now that like requires some background knowledge is they're awesome. They're so complicated. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you were telling me you were really getting into the Oxygen Not Included, which was like super like lots of options and controls and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Extremely complicated. These games are like huge amounts of game time just to get like competent.
Did I hear you mention roguelites before?
Yeah, so I have played a little Risk of Rain too, but I you know, not for a long time. Risk of Rain is like a, you know, really popular new roguelike
and
game.
And by the way, for the listeners, this is a type of game where it basically resets every time you play. You don't save your character and you're able to carry.
Yep.
I don't like them.
Is this
an online game?
The roguelike is a type of game.
Yeah. Is it a one-player game?
It's more like the old Atari games where you played every time you reset the game.
You got to leave it on if you want to pick up where you left off, basically.
Correct.
That's annoying as hell.
Or when you die, that's it. So it's an Iron Man type of game.
I see.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. I actually like to, you know...
Save your progress.
Save my progress. I like to collect... You know, I like to have that. That's an option that
I like. See, I'm the opposite from you, Johnson, as far as like complicated games. I like my games simple because I don't want to spend a bunch of time getting into a game because what'll happen is...
I've watched you getting massively frustrated solving some of the Doom puzzles.
What'll happen is I will get into a game and then I have to put it down for like months because I just won't want to spend more time on it, and then I'm like, okay, how do I play this game again? Where was I?
You know? that's exactly a lot of what was being said while you were trying to solve some of these. Like, damn it, which way did I go? Where was that?
Right.
I've got to go back here. Okay, I think it was over here.
Straight through. If I don't play it like day after day, I'll lose whatever ability I had to play.
And I'm the exact opposite. I like games where I actually have to go online and find some forums and some guys.
Oh, really?
You would like the games that I play.
Just so I can min-max my character because I like to build, you know, just epic characters. And, and I like to say, all right, well, how do you do that? What's the best stats I need to, you know, involve this character in? And I usually don't finish a game until I feel like I have developed the uber character. So I don't necessarily have to beat the last boss. It's just when I get to a point where I'm just slaying.
But how are you two? So you sound like you're describing two RPGs, and I'm not a fan of RPG games.
I love RPGs.
Yeah, see, I don't like RPGs because a lot of what I find in RPGs, and this is weird because I have to like, I guess, temper the statement, but I would say that a lot of RPG games, I've found that there's a lot of grinding to just doing repetitive tasks to up your character stats to, you know, and it, just to get to the next stage, you have to do all these meaningless, boring things, frankly.
Fetch quests.
Yeah, fetch quests in the same time. But then...
Well, they're all meaningless. I mean, all games are just ways for you to pass time.
But I mean meaningless. I mean, they're like, they're kind of menial and boring. They're not interesting. In other words, the developers didn't put that much time into them to even doing that. And I would say that to a certain extent, that's true of RPGs, but I have to temper that statement because I actually really like the Assassin's Creed games, like a lot. And actually, even recently, again, I mentioned Red Dead Redemption, and there's a little bit of that in those. But I feel like their side quests in those games are not as one-dimensional as a lot of the RPG game quests are, in that, you know, the every little side quest in the Assassin's Creed games, for the most part, has a little mini storyline in it. It's like you're solving something like this person's like, oh, this, you know, was taken from me. This, you know, this was stolen. Go, you know, get these, you know, get it back for me. But there's like variety to it. And it kind of feels the same way with the Red Dead Redemption games, kind of the same kind of thing.
Do you buy anything in these games with microtransactions?
No, never.
Have you, Ian?
No.
All right. That's three of us. I have never purchased a microtransaction ever.
I've read an article.
I see them and I don't even notice
it.
And by the way, I am the same way in the store. I don't think I've ever bought an impulse item up at the register. Ever.
I bought some beef jerky more than once.
I have spent on microtransactions once in a phone game.
Oh, really?
I was playing Fallout Shelter by Bethesda.
Ah.
And I did spend a little bit. But it's such a small – I mean, it was such a microtransaction. Yeah. It's like 50 cents or a dollar or something like that. I'm like, okay, fine.
The toll-free number here is 855-453. I will say this. Before microtransactions became a thing, I did do some DLC, downloadable content, for one of the Fallouts a long time ago. But that's like extra levels and things like that. It's not quite the same.
Sometimes I'll do that up front.
More coming up. Hour 3 is next. It's Free Talk Live.
Chronic pain, stress and anxiety, fatigue or lack of focus, dependence on opioids or opiates. John Bush here, owner of Brave Botanicals, inviting you to try a free ounce of Kratom, the controversial plant remedy the government doesn't want you to know about. Why, you ask? Well, it's big competition for big pharma. From grandmothers cutting OxyContin to keep up with their grandkids, to young adults kicking Adderall and quitting drinking, more Americans are turning to Kratom to help them through the day. But the government won't stop us. When the credit card companies kicked Kratom to the curb, I accepted e-checks and crypto. When Facebook shut down my ad account, I did podcast interviews and advertised on Free Talk Live. And now to give a big F you to the man, I'm giving away Kratom for free. To get your free ounce of Kratom, go to freeounceofkratom.com, pay $5 shipping and handling, and I'll send you a free ounce. Visit freeounceofkratom.com to claim your free ounce today. That's freeounceofkratom.com.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. We're doing a little bit of pop culture gaming discussion here tonight, and it's appropriate because the three of us are, well, pretty much we're all gamers to some extent or another. It's one of those things I wish I could spend more time on, and I suppose I could, but then I would be putting off more productive things, and I always feel kind of bad about that. So I haven't even done a game stream in, I don't know, since before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Maybe I did one in August or something like that, but it's been months. Since I've done that. But, you know, we live in a world today, and sometimes I think, well, are we talking too much about games here on, you know, this talk show? But this is a new, you know, this is like people who are adults now are gamers from way back.
We are the demographic.
Yeah.
I mean, it keeps the age range keeps growing as we age. So, yeah, it's like 40, 41.
The money demo or whatever, right?
Like, no, I don't know if we're the money demo, but we actually are the players.
Well, wait, plus,
what's the most subscribed channel on YouTube?
PewDiePie.
Oh, right. Hello, gamers.
Yeah. Yeah, but isn't you his? Know? Yeah, but I bet you his audience is younger.
Well, he always calls them 9-year-olds. Yeah, but
because I think that the watching other people play games thing is a younger person's thing for the most part. Like, kind of in the same way that we don't do the microtransactions, but younger people do. I think a lot of the people that watch people play video games are also younger. They grew up with YouTube and things like that. We didn't. And watching gaming is like a whole industry. That's why Twitch exists.
So I've been, you know, really getting into Twitch just to explore it because I'm like, what is this?
You're a streamer.
Well, I was. I mean, I've come and gone from this kind of streaming thing because I just, you know.
So you're exploring it as a viewer?
Yeah, I was doing both, right? Because to become a streamer, right, I wanted to know, like, okay, what's going on? What's everybody doing? Like, I really wanted to get into and investigate this sort of this phenomenon, right? There are a surprising amount of people that are actually older and that are our age or, you know,
that are watching or streaming?
That are watching.
Mm-hmm. How do you know?
Because they'll mention their age and they'll talk about it and they're, you know, people, you know, it's just, it's a huge spectrum. And it depends. I think it depends on the age of the streamer as well, like who's streaming and, you know, because
can they relate to
everyone, you know, everyone gets a different community, right?
Yeah.
And it depends on what the streamer is trying to accomplish. But I do think that the larger channels do tend to skew younger. And I do think they also have to be like if they're streaming for safe, you know, safer content, right? Because there are a lot of streamers out there that are doing some crazy stuff. It's been in the news, you know, like where there's been these dramatic kind of like, you know, vajayjay shots that have happened on
you're talking
certain
about,
streamers and certain streamers throwing their animals over their shoulder, just doing crazy, obnoxious, like, what are you doing? You know,
Johnson
like,
is referring to the Twitch thoughts.
Yes, there's several different Twitch thoughts.
That hoe over there.
Who, but there's also, who don't really play games, but they kind of do every now and then, but it's all about it's all about boobs.
Super hot, so they get
it's all about
of fans.
The booty.
Yeah.
But
it's,
I mean,
it's about doing yoga.
Twitch itself, you know, like, okay, so for example, there's a famous Twitch streamer, or was formerly, Ninja.
Who moved this year to a Microsoft platform.
To Microsoft platform, and his channel, like, you know, wasn't shut down, and so there was some stuff, I guess, somehow Twitch was either accidentally or intentionally advertising pornographic content somehow on his channel, too, which was specifically
which isn't allowed
geared,
on Twitch.
Yeah, which is specifically geared towards... It's not allowed, but it happens all the time.
If they're, well, yeah, they're going to shut you down. If they catch
well,
you.
Unless they are making a lot of money off of you, and then they'll slap you on the
they'll
wrist.
They'll shut you down.
And you'll be shut down
it
for a week.
It just might take a couple of weeks or months. You know, and meanwhile, these people are using, you know, throwaway accounts.
You know, I have noticed in the last year, so I watch a lot of YouTube, like everyone does. A lot of the new content providers that I have started watching are Twitch gamers. Except they really don't do that anymore. They show a lot of their footage during their YouTube videos, but they're talking politics. They're talking about the culture. So I do find that interesting. So a lot of I don't know what age these guys are. I think they're probably older millennials, late Xers.
I mean, one thing that I've learned about Twitch is that you're not going to really accomplish anything on Twitch if you're just getting on Twitch and trying to start and build something up, for the most part, unless
you think the time has passed for that.
Yeah, I think so. Like, unless you're an extremely attractive female,
right,
or you're really, really entertaining, like naturally. Like you're naturally really entertaining, and
you're
not just playing games.
Above.
You're not just playing games. You're like really engaging, personality wise, but. I even think even that still would be a massive struggle over what you could do, which is take those exact same talents and apply them towards, you know, making a more curated, shorter series on a platform that is discoverable, like YouTube or even Twitter, you know, and using Twitter's video or, you know, any other platform where there actually is search and recommendations, which Twitch doesn't have.
Really?
And in Twitch, until Twitch solves, I mean, Twitch just, it's kind of like a well-known fact amongst streamers.
Well, you can search for
like
the game you want to see on Twitch.
Yeah,
right?
And then you can scroll for like
and then it
40
orders by popularity.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's by popularity. And if that game is at all popular and you're just trying to get started on
you'll
Twitch,
you'll be at the bottom
forget
of the
it.
List.
Yep. You can't
and I agree with Johnson completely. And this is why I don't watch Twitch streams. And I don't. And I am not a streamer because I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't play a game and have a conversation with the audience at the same time.
It's hard.
Because I get into it. I get involved. I go Rain Man.
Well, and here's the thing too.
It's the same way
if you're new, right? If you're a new streamer, you're not having a conversation with anyone. There's no one there.
Well,
having a conversation with no one.
Yeah, but your videos are uploaded for what, 2 weeks or something?
That's it. Yeah, and then
yeah, that's
gone.
It.
Unless
and then
you turn around and upload them to YouTube at
yeah, which
the
you
same
should
time.
Do.
Yes.
Yeah, you can. And yeah,
I actually looked into it, and because I'm not a horrible gamer, and but I'm just not entertaining as a host and game at the same time.
You might be. I mean, if you spend, I think it's about you should go and spend time actually watching some smaller streams and seeing what they do, you know, like what these people do. Not the big time streamers, because there becomes a level, right? So Twitch is actually really unique and interesting as a platform because of that interactivity with the community. That's where Twitch actually shines. But there's this in between middle ground, right? Where there's this, it's like the long tail, right? You have a few streamers that are huge, right?
These are celebrities.
Yeah. It's a very small audience, you know, in terms of
And I don't mean they were celebrities before they started streaming, like Kanye or something like that. But they became celebrities.
Well, there are celebrities. Some. Andy Milonakis, I thought it was kind of amusing that Andy Milonakis is on there.
I remember hearing about him previously.
Yeah, but he used to be on MTV. He did this very strange show. He's kind of a comedian.
But what I mean is the people like the Ninja that you mentioned, these folks who created their celebrity by becoming these popular streamers. There's actually a really interesting article at Kotaku.
They got in early.
Right, and for whatever reason, they were good at it, right? Because if you aren't that interesting to watch, no one's going to watch you. If your reactions aren't good, that's why I was like, what's the deal with PewDiePie? Why is he the number one channel on YouTube? I think it's because of his reactions.
Yeah,
I think he's got like these really expressive, like really reaction.
And he's a storyteller.
See, I don't know. I've never really watched much of him, but the little bits I've watched have always been him doing ridiculous reactions. And of course, the interacting with the stream viewers is important as well. But I think what you're saying is once you get to a certain level.
That's a whole other element, actually looking at your chat while you're playing the game and having a conversation with them. So they got three things going on.
Well, right. But once you get to a certain level of popularity, you can even possibly read the chat.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
It's going there's that curve.
If you're only watching the big streamers, right, which is a very small, like there are like thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people streaming on Twitch at any given moment.
It's millions, I think. I've heard that it's like a couple million streams.
I think that may be true in a month, but I mean at any given moment, there's probably like 30 or 40,000 streamers.
That sounds at least true.
Right now, right? Like, and of those, maybe 100 of them are big, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so the rest of them, you know, only have a couple thousand followers, if that, or a couple hundred followers. And those, they still have huge chats. You know, like people are interacting in those chats, and it's worth watching those small ones because the bigger ones, again, once they get to the point where they can't even interact with their chat anymore, it's just thousands of messages flying by at a speed you can't even read at.
They do whatever they want.
They do whatever they want, and it's not, they're not interactive anymore. They're not really what Twitch was made for anymore. And I definitely think it's worth checking out the smaller streamers to see, you know, how they are, because that's, I think, half the fun of Twitch is
the article.
It's interactive.
Yeah, you'd really like this article at Kotaku. It's fairly recent. It's about the recent Twitch con. So they have like a convention that they go to, and it kind of talks about, like, you know, how these big stars behave when they're around all these fans or whatever. Do they hide behind, like, in the secretive areas for the stars, or do they come out? More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. You bring up whatever you want here. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Actually, some calls came in here. We're going to go right to those phone calls. But first, I do want you to know about local.bitcoin.com. It is a global trading platform that actually respects your privacy. That's really one of the things that sets it apart. Now, one of the other things that sets it apart is it's exclusive to Bitcoin Cash. You can buy or sell Bitcoin Cash with dozens of payment methods. But most importantly, there's no identification requirements to join the site, to create an account. You don't have to show ID. There's nowhere to actually put any information about ID anywhere into your profile. So they don't want to know who you are. It's none of their business. And they don't even want to know what you're saying between the buyers and the sellers. That communication, those communications are encrypted on local.bitcoin.com. Now, you can allow an administrator to read them if you opt into that. So if you need like a dispute to be solved with a buyer or seller, then you can do that. But by default, it's encrypted. So check it out at local.bitcoin.com. You can get started trading Bitcoin Cash. Let's go to Mike. He's in Gold Bar, Washington, listening to KBKW. Hello, Mike. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, you guys. Hey. I have to admit, I've made it to level 3. I've never saved the princess, so I'm not a gamer. But I have a buddy that lives in front of this giant television. He spent 5 years in prison, and he's literally spent about 7 years afterward, maybe more, and he watches this guy that wears a pirate hat. He's a gamer. I have no idea who he is, but it's kind of funny to me because I just am like more into gardening and you know, going out and social. So I'm just not a gamer. But the shooting in Texas, the most recent one where the 6-year-old boy lost his mother to someone that didn't obviously follow any protocol the police should follow. I'm just wondering how the story would go if the lady that raised her blind seeing something in her window, because you know if you're in a lit room and you look out into the dark out a window, there's glare. You're not going to know what would have been like if she pulled the trigger and cast.
I don't know what story this is. What is the story you're referring to?
The lady that where the police officer was called for a health and welfare because their door was open at 2:30 in the morning. So a neighbor called, and it turned out that there was a 26-year-old mother of a 6-year-old playing World of Warcraft, I think it was, with her little boy. The officer, instead of going to the door and saying, hey, it's officer friendly, we're just doing a health and welfare, your neighbors are concerned, he snuck around the house somehow, and she either heard him or saw his flashlight. She grabs her 9, pulls the window up to surprise him, and he kills her.
Oh my God. Okay, so hold on. So she was spooked because somebody was creeping, in this case a cop, outside of her windows. She pulls her gun because she's spooked. She wants to protect herself and her child. And then the officer says, oh, we got a live one here, and just blasts her.
Right. And all he did, according to all the mixed news stories, is yell, put your hands up, and then he shot her because he was carrying a gun. And
this was Texas?
This is and I just hope for this officer's sake that he is man enough to step up in the courtroom and say, I really, really, really messed up.
No, there's no way he'll say that.
And just make it better. You know what I mean? Because they're making it like maybe she did something wrong.
That's the way they want to make it.
Hold on there. This guy was charged with murder.
That doesn't mean he'll be convicted.
I think he should be man enough to just say, I'm so sorry. You know, I did this. I was wrong completely. Hang me, do something. But I just wonder how it would have went if she shot him. And I think she had every right to do so.
Yeah.
So far, it sounds like she was legally possessing the firearm.
Well, she probably didn't have a right to shoot him because she didn't know what she was looking at, right? Like, she just had a gun and she heard some noises outside.
That's true. That is true. But
so
you don't get the right to
start blasting at every errant noise from outside your window.
But you know what I find the most interesting is she was actually to maintain restraint under the circumstances, and the trained professional was not able to maintain restraint. And now we have a child that's missing his mother.
Wow.
Well, considering what happened with Amber Geiger,
it's really a shame. That's all.
You know,
that's all I had to. That's all. Thank you,
Mike.
Gentlemen.
Thanks for the call. I would really appreciate hearing from you. Thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Considering what happened to Amber Geiger and that she got 10 years, at least she got something.
This is the cop who shot the dude in his own apartment that she thought was her apartment that she drunkenly barged into.
That she supposedly thought was her apartment,
yeah.
Which is what she claimed.
Well, I mean, she was supposedly pretty wasted.
And it wasn't some kind of love spat or something.
Yeah.
And she was just mad at the guy or whatever. I mean, but anyways, she did get 10 years.
But that's unusual, Conan.
Well,
the
this is a very similar situation, except actually it's a very similar situation.
There's been a ton of situations like this over time where cops have killed innocent, peaceful people.
And times are changing.
People
are getting woke to this type of...
I think it was a fluke. I think Geiger was a fluke. I don't think you're going to see a series of Geiger-like convictions anytime soon.
Well,
I mean,
let's watch this. I think that it is changing. I think it really is.
I hope you're right and that I'm wrong about this, but I don't see it. I don't see people.
Yeah, there are too many blue line supporters out there with their flags in their front yards.
Yeah, man. They've still got
cops
it on.
Cops can't do wrong. I mean, support your local cop. Support your firemen. Support your teachers. They can do no wrong. Give them all a trophy.
You are right, though, Conan, that it is harder now for police departments to hire people.
This is true. We're seeing it right here in Keene. They have a lot of openings, and they can't figure out why they can't find the folks. And they talk about it's kind of a rural kind of a situation. People don't want to move here. And I'm like, no, that's not it at all. You look at your drug war. You look at what these cops are spending most of their time doing, and a lot of them are wising up and like, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, well, maybe people have figured out they don't want to actually have to arrest their friends for things that, you know, didn't actually harm another person. I had one of the cops who is part-time at the college here in town. He's the chief of police in one of the towns that are in the region. I forget which town it is, but we had a conversation a couple years ago about this, and he told me that he's having trouble finding people to hire, not on the college campus, but in his police department. And this is just, you know, like a small town police department, probably one of the easier places to work. But nope, it's difficult to find people who are willing to be a cop.
And I am perfectly okay with that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Let's go to Robbie. He's in Albuquerque. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Robbie.
Oh.
Hi. Hello. You're on the air.
Hi. So I just want to talk about, like, you know, the current state of YouTube. Like, how do you guys feel about that, you know, since you guys are YouTubers yourself?
Well, when you say the current state of YouTube, do you mean like the policies that YouTube is handing down, demonetizations,
yeah,
things like that?
And just like what's popular, you know, like the upcoming boxing match between KSI and Logan Paul.
I don't know what that is. Is that a name drop?
Is this sports? Because I don't think any of us are sports ballers.
Hold on, Robbie. We'll bring you back here in just a moment, which the funny thing is there's actually two callers named Robbie on hold, and they're both in New Mexico. So
YouTube is everything. Everything is on its way out eventually. Even Bezos has come out.
You think YouTube's peaked?
YouTube is, yeah, it's going out. Twitter will be, it'll have its day. It's had its day. It'll be replaced by something else.
What's going to replace YouTube?
There are lots of options out there, lots of people who are trying different formulas and that are more supportive of free speech, which YouTube is not.
That's true.
And a lot of people who have been demonetized and or banned have gone elsewhere.
There's more coming up here in moments. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want. We can talk more about the state of YouTube, one of the world's largest.
Divvy is crypto made easy. Anyone can use Divvy to securely and seamlessly spend, earn, store, or exchange digital money, the U.S. dollar and euros. Divvy is fast. Transactions happen in seconds with fewer fees. While other altcoins are languishing, the Divvy price has risen substantially against BTC. Now's the time to make a switch to Divvy or make your start with cryptocurrency with Divvy. Visit DivvyProject.org. Divvy is crypto made easy. Plus one-click masternotes. DivvyProject.org. Again, DivvyProject.org.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll free. We're talking about the world of the state of technology. Actually, calling in about YouTube and, you know, their ever-changing set of rules and algorithms makes it even more difficult for independent channels to even be found. Now they're promoting things like CNN and other mainstream so-called journalism. With you tonight, by the way, you've got Ian here.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
Johnson, by the way, folks can go over to your website, libertyminded.com, and they can order official Free Talk Live merchandise.
And LRN.FM merchandise.
This is true. Also, really cool liberty-friendly t-shirts.
I should say LRN.FM merchandise. One item.
Would that be a merchandise?
Merchandise, I guess. I don't know.
It's not merch.
Merch. The t-shirt.
Yeah.
But yeah, also
the only t-shirt to have ever existed.
Also probably the most anti-cop t-shirt in existence.
There's some good stuff there. You definitely want to check it out. It is getting to be holiday season here, so you're going to start thinking about gift giving.
Oh yeah, that's when it really kicks in.
If you know a liberty-minded person, you're going to love libertyminded.com. So get over there and find something you think they would like, because they probably will. Also, discounts on hoodies, right?
Yes, that's right.
That's
happening
now.
There's a sale going on for hoodies and
Very good.
That's where it's at right now.
LibertyMinded.com. Check more out there as we go back to the phones here. Robbie in Albuquerque, you were calling about the state of YouTube. There's a lot of things that YouTubers would say about this. Many people are disappointed. They've been demonetized, for instance, or partially demonetized, and it's made a lot of people who were making a living at YouTube stop making a living at YouTube. Was that what you were referencing, or did you have something else in mind? Robbie, maybe we lost him. Robbie going once, Robbie going twice. Let's try the other Robbie. This is a different Robbie, also in New Mexico. This one watching on dlive.lrn.fm. Go ahead, Robbie.
Hey, this is the real Robbie.
All right.
Real Robbie. Will the real Robbie still please stand up?
He's going to follow me around and dab my phone lines, I swear. Well, he's talking about YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this whole YouTube thing's a bunch of malarkey, I think.
Really?
It's not going to last, you know.
What is going to happen? I mean, YouTube's got an incredible amount of steam. You know, they built it up over time. It's the number one video platform, probably by far, on the planet. I mean, what is going to replace it? It's not going to be Twitch. That's just live streams.
Well, YouTube is the number two website in the whole internet.
Yeah.
and I don't think anything can replace it, which is only going to make the whole problem worse, you know, and no one being a competitor. YouTube's going to do whatever they want. They're going to censor us. You know, they're going to keep us. They're going to hide us. Nobody, and there's going to be no new people. And, you know, that's going to be an iron shame.
I see your frustration, Robbie. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE.
Robbie is, you know, possibly, you know, a visionary about YouTube. I mean, well, when you think about it, right, even though YouTube has about $4 billion in annual revenue, right, and you say that's the largest website, how much do you think it actually made this year?
Did they lose money?
Oh, they've lost $750 million a year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. YouTube is a huge money sink.
What? Yeah. Were they ever profitable?
Nope. YouTube has never been profitable, not once.
So well, it's been subsidized?
Yeah, by Google. It's been being subsidized since its inception.
I had no idea.
Well, hold on now, because isn't Uber in the same boat?
Yes,
in the same
Uber
boat?
Is also a money
let
loser.
Let me make sure that I'm you know, let me make sure
I
that I'm
I can't
not,
believe that, if that's
I
true.
I do. I believe YouTube has never been profitable.
All right, you check into that. Let's go back to Olivia in Arizona, also watching on YouTube. Go ahead, Olivia.
Hey, Ian. Hey, Johnson. Hey,
hey
Conan.
Hey.
I'm excited to meet Conan because I've seen him before on YouTube, but I've never gotten to talk to him. But he used to have long hair, I think.
He did, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, now I'm sporting my alt-right cut. But I'm not
But you're
alt-right.
Not alt-right, yeah.
Do you miss the long hair?
I can't pull it off any longer. I'm getting too old for that. I'm not cool enough to.
There's always
to
a lot of work you got to do on
to sport the Jesus locks, the Legends of the Fall locks. I can't do it. It is a lot easier.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, I think it's a darn shame that like Fortnite's getting sued. It seems like anytime someone makes something that really appeals to people and really just anything that makes an impact in the world, pretty soon you're going to have a bunch of people just trying to get money.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
They don't deserve.
And that's how, and by the way, that's how you know you won.
Yeah.
When people come after you.
People come after you. Yeah.
It's a darn shame. And then the cops playing like they're in a video game, you know, but they're not. They're in real life. That's so sickening. But what happened to Cop Block, by the way? Like
I'll try to keep the answer short. What happened to Cop Block was over time it you know, it was a decentralized organization. They attracted a certain number of people who didn't really gel with the original Cop Blockers. Let's say like a Pete Nademo, the founders of Cop Block. Some of the people that came on later didn't really get along real well with one another. So there became, as is so common in organizations that grow to a certain size, internal strife within the organization, internal fighting within the organization. And so at some point, Ademo stepped away as founder of the group. And I'm really shortening this.
And a little burnout, too?
Yeah, and of course, burnout as well. And eventually, Ademo decided he was just going to throw in the towel and retire as an activist. And, you know, he did a lot of work. He got arrested a lot of times doing a lot of police accountability activism. Cop Block touched a lot of lives in a positive way, helped a lot of people learn about how to handle themselves with police interactions and how to, you know your rights and use your rights. So, I mean, I think its impact over time was really positive overall. But the organization basically fell apart when Ademo stepped away from it. He had ended up putting the website up for sale. He couldn't find a buyer from within, and so he just auctioned it off. And the guy who ended up winning the auction at first didn't want to be known. I ended up finally finding out who it was. And I talked to the guy because I was trying to, like, you know, keep the flame alive to some extent. But there's very little I can do. I've got so much on my plate. I wasn't going to take on full responsibilities of editorial content or anything like that. And so this other guy admitted that he didn't even know what Cop Block was when he bought the website URL. He just thought it sounded cool.
He wasn't a Fed, was he?
Well, I have no idea.
Oh, wow.
Basically, the site's still there, and it's essentially a shell of its former self. So essentially, the organization is dead. There are a couple of folks or a few groups out there that still have some life. When I was out in Vegas for Anarcho Vegas, I did meet the Vegas Cop Block guys, and they are still putting out content. They're still going out, I think, doing things in the streets. here in Keene, I do outreach every year out by the college, Know Your Rights kind of outreach, because people need to be able to exercise their own rights. They can't just expect cop blockers to be around to do it for them. But anyway, there's the short answer.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope Adamo's doing good. I once upon a time, I had a Facebook, and basically all I did on there was repost cop block stuff. I made a bunch of my friends mad, but oh, well. But I really called to talk about a really neat article I saw about, it's on the BBC, and the title is The Gamer Who Spent 7 Years in His Dressing Gown. Basically, this guy just became a total recluse.
Really?
In his house. And
is dressing gown like pajamas in the UK? Is that what that means?
I think so.
Okay.
And they have a really cool program called Real Ideas Organization, where they basically have a program where if you're not employed or you're not in education, you can join this organization, and they will help you build games to learn social skills. So basically you build a game that encourages you to get out and participate in society and basically level up by interacting with people. So he's
that's good.
Kind
I like
of
that.
Built one.
Really?
Yeah, he's built a game to help other people who are like him, and he's getting out there, and he's building kind of his own business doing that. And I just thought that does sound really interesting.
I'm curious to know how that works. Is it kind of like the Pokemon game where you have to go out into physical reality to actually play it, where it encourages people to get up and get out somehow?
What was the title of this game?
Right.
I don't know. Olivia, you said it was an article. Do you know the name of the game?
I don't see the name. It's a role-playing board game for small groups. So players meet once a week over a period of weeks or months, and they...
Can you pop that into our Discord chat when you get a chance? I don't know if you're in there.
Yeah,
there's somebody who has your name, but I don't know if that's actually you. Is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, good.
Olivia from Arizona.
Okay, cool. Didn't know if it was an imposter. Just shoot that over into our Discord. There's more coming up here. Thank you, Olivia. It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Free Talk Live brought to you by the Edge Wallet, the best cryptocurrency wallet out there, in my opinion. And that was my opinion long before they became a sponsor here on Free Talk Live. But I'm super excited that they are sponsoring Free Talk Live because, well, it's my favorite wallet. So edge.app is where you can go to learn more about it. Ethereum tokens, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, Bitcoin Cash, the original Bitcoin, Dash, and more. Ravencoin recently added to Edge Wallet. iOS and Android versions are available. You can buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your favorite cryptocurrencies. It's user-controlled. You own your own money. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet. Go to edge.app to learn more about it as we continue. So, Conan, you wanted to talk about 2012. And I know you said you didn't think you'd have enough time.
10 minutes, man.
You don't think that's enough? This is too deep.
I mean, we could touch on it.
All right.
I mean, so here, this is how it works. You know, I'm looking at a lot of the arguments that are being forced upon me. I think one of the bigger ones is in 12 years, it's up. It's all up for grabs. I mean, we're not going to be able to. The climate has got to a certain point that. We're all going to die.
Well, of course we're all going to die.
And the people who are telling me this are smart people, educated people. They're people who really know what's going on. And I'm like, well, crap. You know, what's really going on here? What is wrong with these people? Except maybe, you know, we were talking about NPCs earlier on, you know, non-player characters who are not really able to think for themselves. They are programmed to think a certain way. They know they have a certain set of parameters that they are allowed to discuss, to communicate, to think, and maybe this really is a simulation.
Wait, are you saying that it wasn't a simulation until 2012, but then became a simulation?
Well, that's one of the theories. So anyways, the Mayans might have had Mayans might have had it right. So their calendar ended December 21st, 2012.
When did Sam leave New Hampshire?
Sam Dodson, 2011, I think.
Right on time.
Do you think he knew something?
maybe the alien wars weren't revealed and instead they just flipped on the simulation.
Well, here's the thing. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about.
But how does that explain Sam becoming an XL or a Ripple fanatic?
It's a simulation. It's not actually Sam. Mm. He was taken away with the aliens. The alien war was revealed to him, and the rest of us were just plugged into the simulation.
So he escaped on the alien rapture.
I want royalties, Sam, for this idea. By the way,
he'll pay you in Ripple.
I would accept that.
The current culture is so bizarre right now, and I know that every generation is always complaining about how they have it rougher than the past generations. It's always harder for us than it was for anyone else, and yet I look at the current culture and we're talking about the Joker just a couple of breaks ago and about how there are two splits on whether the Joker is even worth watching. You have people who will walk out of the theater because it is that bad, and you have people who are talking about how it is the movie of the year.
Have you ever walked out of a theater?
Never.
I've never seen a movie so atrocious to where I was like, I can't stand
it. I've seen atrocious movies, but I think that if I paid money to see it, unless there was something right across the hall
that was a lot better
and I knew it would be better and I just kind of snuck over
there. There is a movie that I wish that I had never watched, actually.
What was that?
The Trigger Effect.
Never even
vaguely
heard
recall
it.
The
sounds
title,
like,
but
sounds
I
from like 1996.
Okay. Sounds like
about,
a straight to DVD.
Like the power going out in LA and these people losing their minds, and it's really bad.
Really bad.
So what I am seeing in the current culture is such a divide, such a clown world that it's like, well, crap. Maybe in 2012 something did change, something did end. When we're talking about a lot of games this evening, most games I play when you defeat the final boss.
I mean, Obama's first term.
You can keep playing. There's still side quests to play. You can keep going around doing things, but I mean the whole purpose of the game is really ended. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of passing
tooling
the time
around. Yeah.
So I mean, what if 2012 December 21st it did end, and someone just decided, yeah, you know what, I want another 50 years. Click, and we're still going, and it's just but it's gotten to a point where the game is basically just playing the credits somewhere off in the distance. The credits are rolling and we're just plugging along doing our thing, and the crazies are out there, the NPCs who only have one option. They are not able to adapt. They're still spewing the same crap, the same
nonsense.
But
how does that explain Donald Trump?
He might be the only real person. He's just living his fantasy, just seeing how far he can get it, or he might be a complete
the realest person to ever exist.
The realest, the biggest, the
biggest,
bigly.
Most real intellect. The most
so
humble.
So what did happen in 2012? Well, the Higgs boson particle was found.
Really? Okay.
The Hadron collider, what is it called?
Collider.
Yeah.
So they think they actually got it to work. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, they found this particle that's holding us all together or something. That happened. I think Disney actually bought, Disney bought Star Wars in 2012, and then you've seen where it's gone.
Into the Hadron Collider.
it's just, I don't know. I like to understand why things work, and that's basically why I like this 80-year cycle where every 80 years it resets. This could just be the reset. It's just gotten so stupid. The clown world has gotten so prevalent that it needs to reset. And you think
something's coming? You think a big reset's coming?
Or it might not be coming because the game is already over. It's over.
What does that even mean, though?
The game is over. The credits are rolling. We are just...
We're about to enter the roaring
20s, We are just the remnants.
The roaring
20s.
20s, right?
Uh-huh.
Because that was what the 1920s were called.
No,
what
no,
were
right.
the 2020s?
No, we're going to... We are entering into the... If it's an 80-year cycle, this is our World War II.
Okay.
So, and Great Depression.
But the world is more peaceful than it's ever been.
Correct. And it's also more stupid than it's ever been. Look at this iGen. They are completely disillusioned.
You like money?
They don't
too?
Know what's up. It's all pink hair and snowflakes.
Johnson's referencing the Mike Judge film Idiocracy, which did seem to be pretty prescient, right? Like there's a lot of truth, I think, to Idiocracy. For listeners unfamiliar,
people who know how to push buttons, button pushers.
Yeah.
As long as
as long as
the symbol on their button on their keyboard makes sense to them.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, they can't figure it. They can't figure anything out.
Are people really dumber today? I know it's tempting to say that.
I will say they are not as wise. They are not as capable of adapting. They're not as capable of picking up new skills and working with what they have. I'm going to say that, yes.
I got to say, I feel like the state of journalism is definitely way worse than it was in the past.
I will say that the state of journalism that people most get their news from is completely worthless. And unless you go to other outlets, we're talking about YouTube. Mm-hmm. There's still some good YouTube creators out there who do a pretty good job. And then you got options like BitChute, which is where I get. So I can't get my conspiracy videos on YouTube anymore. Huh. I got to go to BitChute.
Which is like a BitTorrent version of video storage, basically.
And that's basically where everyone's gone who's been demonetized and or kicked off of YouTube. So there's your other option right there.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is that there are some conservative videos that are amusing. I mean, even if I don't necessarily agree with some of the things, there were a lot of people who were on BitChute that have been snapped up, that are the ones that are good and are being put behind paywalls. And that's...
On
me,
BitChute or
worse.
Some other
No, not
paywall.
On BitChute. Well, okay. I don't know if they're being hosted on BitChute, but they get put behind paywalls, and it's like, well, then no one ever sees that content.
Right.
You know? And it's like, that's really sad, because it was available for free, first starting on YouTube, then, you know, dropped into BitChute, and then, you know, now just down the memory hole.
And by the way, something else, another phenomenon that has come up in recent years, Mandela Effect. You got lots.
The Berenstain Bears.
And I didn't even get to talk about my absolute favorite Mandela Effect that I think just proves it all.
All right.
We're not going to have time this evening. But I mean,
oh, you tease.
Well, in the meantime,
it's a long one.
I have to encourage everyone for 2020 to write in Dwayne Elizondo Herbert Mountain Dew Camacho.
Ooh. Oh!
For president.
Idiocracy president.
That would be great. That's Dwayne a great movie.
Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho.
Go check that movie
Two good movies to watch, Idiocracy and Office Space.
Yeah.
So real.
Oh, and I think his series on HBO,
Silicon Valley
is entering its final season, I believe. That's what I read. Don't miss that too. Mike Judge, great creator. All right, so out of time for tonight. You can join us online between now and tomorrow night. Over at our website, freetalklive.com. Don't forget to follow us on social medias, twitter.freetalklive.com, toot.freetalklive.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Courtney Schrem, and I want to invite you to join my husband and I, Charlie Schrem, on his new show, Untold Stories, for a deep dive into crypto history with the people who made that history. Together, we'll explore the personalities and events that gave rise to Bitcoin and the crypto revolution, the innovation, the collaboration, the battles, and the busts. You'll have a front row seat to the early days of crypto up to today, and you'll hear it from the folks who lived through it and survived to drive this movement mainstream. Untold Stories looks back to reveal what inspired some of the greatest minds on earth to come together to create this technology and change the future for everyone. So join Charlie and his guests, the techies and the traders, the entrepreneurs and the innovators, as they explore our past and understand what that means for the future.
You love Bitcoin. It's the future, right? Well, no, not if everyone stops using it. I mean, think about it. How many places in your town take Bitcoin? One? None? Let's be real. If this Bitcoin thing is ever going to happen, it's going to need your help. The good news is, the guys at AnyPay have your back. We built a website called helpmetakebitcoin.com, and it's a place you can send any business, and they'll be set up to take Bitcoin in 5 minutes. helpmetakebitcoin.com.